Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
What kind of shot do the Kansas City Chiefs have at making the conference championship game? Getting to the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl? Well, let's find out. It's all right there in black and white or on your screen. Clickety click, click, click. As the world works today, we turn to the outsiders, football outsiders I'm talking about. Aaron Schatz is with us, who has done a lot of the work, a lot of the math on this subject, just how good are our Kansas City Chiefs. So we find out right now. Aaron is on our Sprint guest line. Aaron, how you doing?
I'm good today, man.
Let's start with the numbers. What does the raw data say? Chiefs 5-0, no other team in the AFC, even within a game of them. What are the odds, according to the great math that you guys do there at Football Outsiders, as far as getting to a conference championship game, something they haven't done since January of 94, winning that, getting to the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's two things at play here, right? The first is that they've been the best team in the league so far by leaps and bounds. So based on performance over the first five games, the gap we have between them and every other team is equal to the gap between the number two team and the number 11 team.
Wow.
And it's not like they've done that off an easy schedule. Our numbers are adjusted for schedule. Kansas City's played the fifth hardest schedule so far. And the other thing is this game-and-a-half lead. I went back through my numbers, going back at least to when we started with the six playoff teams per conference in 1990. I couldn't find another year in which there was a 5-0 team that had a game-and-a-half lead in its own conference. So that just gives them a huge leg up on everybody else. So we have them getting the number one seed right now in 65% of our simulations. They make it to the conference championship game 63% of the time, the Super Bowl 41%, and they win the Super Bowl 24% of the time with no other team above 10% right now.
Wow, Super Bowl 24%, no other team is above 10%. Now lose to the Steelers and Raiders in back-to-back games over, what would it be, 5 days, and these numbers will look very different, right? So that's part of it. But this is it's important to note, this isn't just a combination of through history, right? Like historically these things have happened. It's also a combination of what they've accomplished, right? It's the two things. Historically what it means to be this strong, and then how strong they are, which should be a better predictive tool than just what historically 5-0 has meant, right?
Right. Well, also historically, how well have teams that are this strong through five games played, right? So at Football Outsiders, we have these advanced stats. We break down every single play in the season. We compare them to average. It's adjusted for situation and opponent. So we're accounting for that when we simulate the rest of the season. It's how often does a team that's this good win against a team that's as good as Pittsburgh's been or as good as Oakland's been? And then we simulate every game. And this early in the season, we're not only looking at the first five games of this year. We're also accounting a little bit for our preseason forecast, because there's a good chance that some teams that have underperformed so far are actually better than they've looked. For example, the New England Patriots. So Kansas City's forecast was not as strong as they've looked during the season, but we did forecast them to be a playoff team. So it's not like adding in the forecast drops them that much. They've just been really, really strong. So it's not just 5-0 that matters. It's that they've played really well, especially on offense, where they're just far ahead of the rest of the league. Their defense has actually been average, which I don't think is that much of a shock. I mean, they did lose perhaps their best defensive player in the first week of the season.
Yeah, and how much of it? I mean, you said their defense is average. I'm fine with that. I'm not going to get upset. I think at times they play well above average, like the first half against Houston. They dominated that game. Deshaun Watson got all his numbers in the second half. How do you quantify out what was, oh, by the way, time for the Houston Texans and what they did against that Chiefs defense in the second half versus the, hey, this game's still a fight, we're in it, and the Chiefs were dominating the Texans offense in the first half?
Well, here's sort of the surprise that I always have to kind of surprise people with, which is that if you go back and look at the last 10, 15 years, how defenses and offenses play in what we think of as garbage time is often just as predictive as how they play the rest of the time. You have to adjust for it a little bit. But, you know, being down by one score is not really garbage time. Just look at Super Bowl 51, right? Like, I feel like after Super Bowl 51, nobody should ever think again that how defenses perform when it looks like garbage time shouldn't matter, because the Atlanta defense learned to never fall asleep. So it's not good that they let Houston do a bunch of stuff them after they took a huge lead, but it's, you know, that's not as important as giving up 34 points like in the first half of a game.
We're talking right now to Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders. So what's more important, points or yards? I mean, right now the Chiefs are doing the same thing they did last year, and that is points allowed, they're really good. Well, that took a hit with the points they gave up. I think they were back up to like 7 or something before last week, giving up all those points at the end of the Texans. But they were still way down in yards allowed. Going into the Steeler game, they were, I think it was 27 in yards allowed last year, 7th in points allowed. Yet they couldn't get the Pittsburgh Steelers off the field. 171 rushing in that playoff game for the Steelers, 170 by Le'Veon Bell. They just dominated the ball, and the Chiefs offense never could. They struggled a little bit, but they had no time of possession with the ball to actually try to work their way through the game plan and get to whatever it was that was going to work. So I get it. Points allowed, the game is measured on points, not yards. But the yards are indicative of the points you will allow. How indicative of it? How important is it? How critical is it that the Chiefs get better in that yards allowed category so they don't end up with another 18-16 loss to a team that they think they're better than playing in their own building like last year?
Well, points are a better measure of how good the team is overall. Yards are a better measure of how good the offense and the defense are separately. Because a lot of times in football, what looks like points, what are points scored and it looks like that's offense, is actually defense or special teams, and vice versa. Right? I mean, not only are there things like, you know, pick sixes and return touchdowns where you'll score more points than your offense really got, but also, you know, having a lot of turnovers will put your offense in good field position where it doesn't need as many yards for a score. And having a poor offense will often put your defense in bad field position where it doesn't need to give up many yards and you'll still score against it. So if you're looking for how good offense and defense are separately, right, separated from each other, separated from special teams, yards, and particularly yards per play, are the best indicators. The other thing I'd say is that, do remember, there are a lot of changes in how teams play from year to year, and this year's Pittsburgh team is not last year's Pittsburgh team. Now, we thought this year's Pittsburgh team was going to be better because they had Martavis Bryant back, and their defense actually has been better, particularly against the pass, but Roethlisberger has been worse. Their offense seems stagnant and uncreative, where the Kansas City offense is dynamic and creative. Like, if you look at how much the coaches and the play calling are bringing to the offense above and beyond the talent of the players on the field, Kansas City would be like number one in the league right now, and Pittsburgh would be like 32. So it's not quite what we saw in January. I think Kansas City's got a lot better chance in this one than we saw last year's. The Pittsburgh defense also, they've been so good against the pass, but they've been only average against the run. And what does Kansas City excel? I mean, Kareem Hunt is going to be breaking some tackles.
I want to talk to you about the DVOA, which is something that a lot of people that like the metrics of football really follow closely, that you guys do at Football Outsiders. First of all, how do you come up with the DVOA? What is it? What's the inspiration behind it? And then I'll ask you a couple of questions about it.
Well, the inspiration was to try to think about stats the way a coach does, okay? So to think about situational football rather than the way a baseball statistician would, where you just throw a bunch of, like, numbers into an equation and come out with, like, a rating. So instead, we take every play individually, and we look at the success on that play based on the down and distance, right? Because 5 yards on first and 10 is very different than 5 yards on third and 10. On first and 10, that's a success. On third and 10, that's a failure. And then we adjust that for the situation. Obviously, it's easier to get 5 yards when you're on your own 20 than when you're on the opposing 5, because you only have 5 yards left to go. And we adjust it for the opponent because, you know, playing Cleveland is different than you know, playing Kansas City or playing the Denver defense or Seattle's defense or something. And then we put that all together. We add in a bunch of measures for special teams as well, and it gives us the best guide to how efficient teams are and will be going forward, filtering out some of the luck and the context that, you know, take place in the game.
So one of the things that jumps out at me, the Chiefs are number one in the DVOA, right? So that computes. But the Steelers are four. That's one of the things in one of the pieces that you have up there on the site. Came out, was it today or yesterday? I can't remember. I was reading it today. But anyway, is that the Steelers are at four. So even though they looked really bad against the Jacksonville Jaguars, the DVOA says that they're really the fourth best team in the league.
Or have been so far this year. Yeah, the Steelers are playing much better than people think. Partly because a lot of what's happened to them this year are things that are really unlikely to repeat, right? So it's not that these things don't involve skill. It's that they're not necessarily predictive. A good example is the field goal block that Chicago had in the overtime victory against the Steelers. It's very unlikely that Pittsburgh will have another blocked field goal returned almost to the goal line so that the other team gets 3 points and turns their field goal attempt into 3 points for the other team. That just doesn't happen very often. Pick sixes are kind of random, you know, based on sort of the where you throw the pass, but also what the placement of the defenders and the offensive players are on the field when you throw that pass, right? Often when you throw a 30-yard pass downfield or whatever the second Roethlisberger pick six was, that's not going to get returned all the way for a touchdown. So interceptions are bad, but the pick six part of it is not very predictive. The 90-yard run by Fournette, you don't give up a lot of 90-yard runs. Because to give up a 90-yard run, you have to have the other team on its 10, and the other team is not going to be on its 10 that often. So that's not as predictive as like giving up just, you know, steady, constant gains, constant moving the chains. Against Chicago, there were 7 fumbles in the game. Okay, fumble recovery is very random. Normally, you're going to recover about half the fumble. Out of 7 fumbles in that game, Chicago recovered 6 of them. Okay, so a lot of luck-oriented and random chance-oriented things have gone against Pittsburgh. Yes, Roethlisberger looked awful last week. Nobody is going to argue with that fact. And yes, their offense is stagnant. It looks uncreative. You don't know why they're not giving Le'Veon Bell the ball more. It doesn't make sense. But their defense is better than people think, not against the run, which is a good thing for Kansas City, but against the pass. And the offense has been average, not bad. It was bad in one game. But over the course of the season, right, they beat Baltimore and Minnesota handily. And those are teams with winning records. So Pittsburgh is better than people think. Just because they had one bad game last week doesn't mean that they're now awful. But Kansas City is better than Pittsburgh, which is something I would not have said in last year's playoffs. But this year's teams, Kansas City is the easy favorite in this game. Pittsburgh's better than people think, but that doesn't mean that there's an upset necessarily coming here.
How often does the eye test just go, nah, we got this, we're missing something here?
A lot, because, look, here's the thing about the eye test, is that the eye test tends to remember extremes, right? It remembers the best plays you see and the worst plays you see. What it doesn't remember is all of the average and slightly above average and slightly below average plays that take up actually the majority of the game. So that's where statistics really have value, because they measure every play, not just the ones that remain in our memories. Of course, a pick six remains in your memory and stands out as, my God, this looks terrible, because it's not just an interception. It's an interception that turns into 7 points for the other team, and you're like, that's awful, this is terrible, Roethlisberger is toast. But in reality, it's an interception, and you don't want to keep throwing interceptions like he did last week. But the pick six part is really unlikely. It's unlikely that every time Roethlisberger throws a pick this year, it's going to turn into a pick six, just because Jacksonville happened to do it twice.
So, and the reason I ask is because, like, the eye test. All right, so the Chiefs are one. You just explained why Pittsburgh is four. But the one that people might jump at is New England's 21. Now, do you think that that's where they're going to be? That's what they've earned this year. But does your eye test tell you that This is just one of those kind of ho-hum starts, which they've had a couple of. They were 2-2 one of their Super Bowl years, as I recall, and went on to win the Super Bowl. Or do you look at it and say, no, 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 does the eye test back you up, and it's this team sucks and Tom Brady just keeps them above average?
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, that's the question that we don't know. That's why when I said when we do our playoff odds, it's not only based this early in the season, it's not only based on how teams have played this year. We also incorporate forecasts. When you incorporate our forecast, the Patriots do better. But every week we keep waiting for the Patriots to have that game where they really look like the Patriots again. Well, we're 5 weeks in and it hasn't happened yet. Right? The best they did was a game against the Saints where they still just gave up tons of yards. Yes, they gave up tons of yards to a good offense, but still, the Patriots are the worst defense in the league this year by leaps and bounds. And in fact, the Patriots' defense is further away from average than their offense is. And their offense is the second best in the league behind Kansas City, and yet the defense is so bad that it's outweighed the offense so far. Now, are they going to continue that way for the rest of the year? I don't think anybody thinks so. I don't think so, subjectively. I mean, you know, I may have 20 years of evidence in how teams in general act after they play the first four or five games of the season, but we all know that the Patriots are not teams in general. And Bill Belichick is not just another coach. And they will probably right the ship. But people in New England thought this was going to be a top-five defense. Our projections had them as a top-five defense. If the Patriots right the ship, it's not going to be to have a top-five defense. It's going to be to have an average or slightly below-average defense. And as good as Tom Brady is, if the Patriots have only an average defense, they're no longer the prohibitive favorites. They're just another of the really good teams that could make a Super Bowl run.
So how do you factor in the injuries? Because that's one of the things with the Chiefs. Like, we can talk about them being 37 on the DVOA and the second-best team, Washington, at 24.1. But, you know, they're down. I mean, Parker Anger hasn't started a game this year, but he's supposed to be the starter at left guard. They're down Mitch Morse at center, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif at right guard. They might be down Travis Kelce at tight end. Spencer Ware they lost before the season began. Their kicker, Cairo Santos, they lost, although Butker looks like he might be better. They're down Eric Berry, as you mentioned, on defense. Dee Ford as well. At some point, even though they're overcoming it and getting it done game by game, aren't they eroding right now throughout? And I know everybody's getting banged up because it's the NFL, but are they eroding to a point to where, you know, those numbers aren't, they're an evaluation of a team that's not actually going to be on the field?
Well, what I often say is injuries and stuff like that is an example of why on our website we have words and paragraphs and not just numbers, right? I mean, the numbers measure what's happened on the field, but then we have commentary on them because the football is not just based on what you've done in the past. Injuries matter. Specific matchups matter. Specific strategic matchups matter, right? It's not just the numbers. So we've got our stats, and then we have our commentary. But as far as the Chiefs, like, wearing down, most of these injuries you've mentioned have been there most of the year. When we talk about their performance this year being the best team in the league, well, four of those five games, there was no Eric Berry. Right? There was no Dee Ford for any of those games, I believe. There was no Erringer. Cairo Santos only played three of those games. It's been the other kicker for two. Like, the injuries have been something they've had to live with for this entire season. I mean, if you want to talk about the injuries breaking a team down going forward, that's more of an issue with, first of all, quarterbacks over anything else. And second of all, is injuries that particularly when you get to later in the season, just happen. Right? Like the Houston defense. Well, if we look at the numbers for Houston's defense, that's four games that had J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus, and only one game that didn't have J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus. So going forward, they're probably going to be more like that team from the one game that didn't have Watt and Mercilus. So again, this is why you don't just look at numbers, you also, you know, comment on them and do analysis and write about them because it's not as simple, in football especially, where injuries are such a big deal and players are constantly missing a game here, a game there. Like, you know, it does matter both backwards and forwards what injuries there are when you try to figure out how well teams are going
to
do.
All right, and I always like to get the opinions of those outside of our town in case we can't see the trees through the forest. We're talking to Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders. Let me ask you about three guys. You tell me what your thoughts are on them. Andy Reid, What do you think? Combination of the numbers, what you see. What do you think of Andy Reid as a coach? How would you quantify him, describe him, put him in some place here in the NFL?
I mean, I probably think a lot about Andy Reid what most people do, which is that the time management issues that he has late in games and always has throughout his entire career mystify me. But I'm also, for people who argued in Philadelphia that he didn't run the ball enough, the numbers suggest certainly that passing is more efficient than running and that his run-pass ratios were good. And in Kansas City, where he's had a better running game, he's run the ball more than he did in Philadelphia. So, I mean, he's a really good designer of offense. Like I said, the offense is really creative this year. I would love to see Andy Reid finally get a Super Bowl title. He's one of the great coaches, but he does certain things late in games that just make me scratch my head and go, what on earth is going on?
Okay, give me an example of one.
Well, I mean, the classic is the slowness of the two-minute drills. I remember, obviously, everybody remembers the Super Bowl against the Patriots, but
right.
There was also a Kansas City-New England game. I'm trying to remember which one it was.
2015. Yeah,
yeah, where the two-minute drill at the end of the game was like, guys, like, hello, like, come on, let's go. Let's move this on.
Yeah, know, let me.
Like right before Doug Peterson left, right?
Yes, and I'm not. I mean, I love my Chiefs. You know, I grew up a Chiefs fan. And everything. So that full disclosure on that. But I'm not an apologist. But I would offer up the potential, and you being an analytics type guy, potential that the reason they're so slow is because the personnel he's got's not that good, and that schematically, that's it. He doesn't have a guy that can take 25-yard chunks at a time. That's why they drafted Patrick Mahomes. He's had Donovan McNabb and Alex Smith.
As throwing downfield and more as hurrying your guys to the lock.
Yeah. No.
Right? It's not that they're not getting the big chunks. It's that they're taking too much time between plays. And the timeout strategy doesn't seem wise at times. Like, there seem to be weird clock management. It's more that than it is the big chunks. And, yeah, I mean, look, that's not Alex Smith's game, even though it's been a little bit more his game this year. So yeah, I'm not begrudging that.
So,
strength of the players you have.
Having talked to him, my point is, you know, he is, and I've discussed with him about that Eagles-Pats drive back when he first got here. And his point is like, listen, you got to score that first one. Like, people don't remember, they were down two scores, Eagles-Pats. And it's like, well, it took so long to get down there. He's like, yeah, but if we don't score the first one, the second one's irrelevant. Like, he gets penalized. If he would come out, take four big shots down the field, and come off the field, he'd be considered a better clock manager than the way it took him all day to get down the field and cut it to seven. And the same thing with the Patriots. They were chasing two scores most of the day, but they get that score to cut it to seven and have a chance, but then everybody after the fact goes, well, but you took too long to cut it to seven. Well, and I think that my point is that, like, yes, we grade him on it was a one-score game and you didn't get there, but in reality, both those games, which are the two games that everybody comes back with, he was really chasing two scores. And had he not gotten close, those would be erased. I think people think he was a better clock manager. He's like, he's almost penalized for getting within shooting distance. And then once he gets within shooting distance, then people bitch about how he got within shooting distance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess. But for me, it's less about the plays that were called and more about what was happening on the field in between the plays.
Okay, and that's fair. John Dorsey. What do you think of John Dorsey?
I mean, things seem good. They've built a really nice team there. And look, I didn't think this was going to work. I thought that cutting Macklin was a mistake. I thought you had a team here that really didn't have outside receivers, right? Were they going to be able to stretch the field? Or, you know, they've got Tyreek Hill. He stretches the field. But then do you have guys underneath? It's all worked. The way that they've built this team has worked. The decision about who to give contracts to and who not to give contracts to seems to have worked. So it's really hard to say something really negative about it.
Yeah, so you look at it and go, especially when Jeremy Macklin's got 16 catches for 159 yards with the Ravens and two touchdowns, averaging less than 10 yards per catch. We look at him and we go, maybe Dorsey knew what he was doing and maybe we're not sure why the Chiefs fired him.
There's some personal stuff going on there, I'm going to guess. I mean, I don't know that stuff. That's part of why
the
football outsiders and not football insiders. But as far as actually the management of this team, I don't know. You know, you don't know which decisions were Dorsey's and which were Reed's and which were sort of together. But look, they've built a good thing here. So it's hard to begrudge the management of this thing.
No, I would agree. And so then do you have any opinion whatsoever as a football outsider of Brett Veach yet?
Not really.
Okay, fair enough. Final four time for you. It's brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Their holiday tickets are available right now. Go to kslottery.com. Four quickies for you. Just tell me the first thing that comes to mind. Who wins, Chiefs or Steelers, this weekend?
I mean, I think an upset is more likely than people think, but Chiefs are still clearly favored.
Okay. 4 points when I looked at it last. Did you watch the U.S. men's national team last night, yes or no?
No.
No, not a soccer guy. Okay.
Well, also, I was really late on stuff yesterday, so I didn't watch anything.
Okay. Who gets the 2018 number one overall pick?
Cleveland.
Yeah, no hesitation there.
And they're finally going to take a quarterback.
Okay. Finally, Cheetos or Doritos?
Cheetos.
Yeah, no chance. Doritos are good, but Cheetos are the bomb. Well done. You aced that one, Aaron. Great stuff. Hey, we love the site, Football Outsiders. Thanks so much for the time. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again soon.
I have a feeling we'll be talking later this season because it looks like a pretty good one for the Chiefs.
Yeah, it does. It does. Aaron Schatz with us from Football Outsiders. We'll take a break, react to some of his comments. That's next here on the program.